B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out of town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
And McCarthy. And McCarthy. It is Gasper and Murray. Hi, how you doing? But no Murray today. But thankfully, we do have Chris Gasper alongside Matt McCarthy. What's going on, Chris?
McCarthy, what's up?
How you doing, my man?
I'm good. Good to work with you again.
It's always good to work with you, Chris. We've got Tyler Milliken alongside.
Yes.
He's back there just waiting for Haim Bloom to text him anytime Haim wants to put the hit out on Xander Bogaerts because they're not going to pay him next year. Then Tyler starts talking about Xander Bogaerts' defense. So Milliken's alongside. Maybe we'll hear from him a little bit later on.
I hope so.
I think we will.
Excellent. Very good.
Again, you know, he's waiting on Haim's text right now. So we'll get to that. And I do want to get to the Celtics later.
By the way, just quickly, is there any truth to the rumor that, you know, remember how the Red Sox used to have Carmine?
Yes.
I've heard that the new internal analytics system is named Milliken.
That's my understanding.
Yes.
Can we confirm?
Yeah.
1,000%.
Yes. Yeah. See, that's what in honor of, you know, Haim paying homage to one of his, you know, biggest fans and somebody who thinks like him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I would even argue a hitman in the media.
Hitman, Eddie Rodriguez would agree with me, but we'll see.
Okay,
We can get to that later on. I do want to get to the Celtics later on. You want to call up and talk some Celtics, you're more than welcome to. 617-779-0985. But contractual obligations, Chris, we've got the Sports Hub Celtics show. We will talk Celtics for a full hour at noon. That's what we do. I think they deserve more than a full hour today because, they're a mess. They're not good. But based on our text chain this morning, which was wonderful and I thoroughly enjoyed, I see that, Chris, you have your latest take in an attempt to discredit Mac Jones. Please explain yourself.
How dare you introduce it like that? It is not an attempt to discredit Mac Jones. It is merely an attempt to course correct something that's been happening since the beginning of training camp. And look, I'll be the first to admit, you know, there's different ends of the spectrum here. And obviously I was on one end, and you know what? I was dead wrong, people. Wrong. However, now I think we've reached a point where the people on the other end of the spectrum are also dead wrong. They are overcrediting the quarterback for the Patriots' success. And this started, as I said, back in training camp when he threw incompletions to Christian Wilkerson and N'Keal Harry that were celebrated and lauded for days. You look at that win they just had against Buffalo. They'd won 7 straight. And the fact he only threw the football 3 times, not necessarily his fault, although I do think it speaks to how Bill Belichick felt about him in that particular game and in those conditions. But my overall point here, McCarthy, is that the entire team is better. Like, quarterback certainly upgraded from Cam Newton, no question about it. But I went and looked at it last year. Top 4 targets, 2 of the guys who were top 4 in targeted receivers last year were Damir Bird and N'Keal Harry, Ooh. Who now is basically a glorified tight end. So you can't tell me it's all the quarterback. Look at the other side of the ball. Matthew Judon up there in sacks. Dante Hightower came back from a COVID opt-out. They got Kyle Van Noy back when Miami let him go. They signed Devon Godshaw. They brought in other guys. The overall talent on this team is upgraded, and it was upgraded at spots other than quarterback, and that's why they're better.
I don't disagree. I think Mac Jones has given you everything you possibly could have asked for and more. From a first-round pick whose ceiling, I tended to agree with you, seemed a little bit limited. Maybe I was wrong about that. I mean, we'll see. We'll find out. 5 years from now, we'll find out, you know, really what
I'm not budging on what his ultimate ceiling is, but did I think he was this good, this fast? Absolutely not.
He's been everything you could possibly want from a rookie quarterback, though.
Yes,
but he's not the reason that they're winning, which, by the way, is fine. Like, I don't want that to be a criticism of Mac Jones
no,
because
it's not.
It's not. I mean, you know, I'm not
just
dug
the way
in
Bill
on this,
built the team.
I'm not dug in on this like you, Chris, maybe just a little bit. But I think the real story of this team is the changeover in talent from last year to this year. So I think you are spot on about that. And I have really pushed back against comparisons to 2001. You know, we've been hearing those comparisons for weeks now.
Yep.
I think they're completely ridiculous. I find it offensive. It's my favorite Patriots team of all time. I will never allow anybody to compare anything to 2001, ever. I asked this to Ted Johnson yesterday, who, of course, was on that team. And he's like, yeah, no, they're ridiculous. I'm like, yes, thank you, Ted. You have validated my opinion as the 10-year-old sports fan who fell in love with football, fell in love with the Patriots, fell in love with all of that because of that team. So what a validating moment for me. But I will say there's one comparison that I will allow.
Okay.
And that's the offseason that Bill Belichick had leading into 2001 and the offseason that he had leading into this year. They're similar in the fact that he needed to reinvent his team. He needed to infuse his team with talent. Remember, they went 5-11 under Belichick in 2000, and he completely changed the culture. He completely changed everything, brought in veterans, Mike Vrabel, Brian Cox, Anthony Pleasant. I mean, Terrell Buckley. Run down the list. Larry Izzo, the guys that he brought in. Roman Pfeiffer, who never gets enough credit.
Yes,
Roman
Pfeiffer, great signing.
Oh, phenomenal signing. Belichick completely reinvented his team between 2000 and 2001. And I think the 2020 Patriots were the least talented team Belichick had since 2000. It's the worst performing team he's had.
Yeah.
And he did the exact same thing. Now, he spent more money this time. It was a little bit more splashy than it was.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the guys they signed in 2001 were not top of the market guys. You know, it was sort of to bring it back to baseball a little bit. It was a little bit like what Ben Cherington was able to do in 2013. You know, sort of like, okay, we just want to get these veterans that will help us be a better team, but we're not going to spend big. Whereas this offseason, they spent the most guaranteed money in NFL history. They went for like top of the market talents mostly.
Yeah. So that's where I will allow the comparisons, because the reinvention of this team, Chris, is the reason that they have the best record in the AFC right now. So credit to Bill Belichick and credit to Mac Jones for being a part of that.
Absolutely.
Because
of
course he's a part of that. They upgraded significantly at quarterback.
Yes,
if Cam Newton were here, they would not have the best record in the AFC.
I agree.
No, not even
Cam,
close.
They would not. No, I think they'd be two or three games worse. Here's my question though. About that. What do you think their record would be last year if they had Mac Jones at quarterback? Same team last year.
8-8, 9-7.
I think it's exactly the same. I think it's 7-9. I think there's not because the performance would be the same, but the talent around him would be the same. So maybe there's a game they win that they didn't win, but then I think there's maybe another game they lose that they would have lost. You know what I'm saying? So I think they're the same. I'm basically 7-9, 8-8. I mean, that's what I believe. Just because offense, like for example, this year, Mac Jones has Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson. Last year, Damian Harris got a little banged up. It was Damian Harris and Sony Michel, but both those guys missed time, and it was mostly Damian Harris. So the running game was good, but it wasn't like as good as it is now. Last year, the tight ends, you had Devin Asiasi, who caught the only touchdown by a tight end, and it came in the regular season finale against the Jets.
Which doesn't count.
Which, yeah, basically. I guess you're right. Yeah, which basically doesn't count. Dalton Keene, remember, he's still on the team. He's just on IR.
Really?
Remember Dalton Keene? You know, and
I'm honestly surprised to hear that. They still employ him.
They still have Dalton Keene.
How
so
about that?
I just look at it and say that this team functions exactly the way Bill built it to function, which is that they're not reliant on the quarterback to be the complete weather vane of their success. Now, I think one of the reasons they're playing as well as they're playing and they're the number one seed in the AFC is because the quarterback is playing really well. But that's like icing on the cake. And as I think, as we saw on Monday night, they don't need the quarterback to play at a Pro Bowl level to win games. That's how Bill built the team. And that's the real success of this season for Bill, is that in 2021 and today's NFL, he's once again bucking the trend and telling you, okay, you think this is the most important position in pro football? I'm going to show you I can win with inexperience at it and not even having to lean on it week to week.
Can they win a Super Bowl that way?
That's a good question. Win it? I'm not ready to say win it. Can they get there? Absolutely.
Is that more?
Because I think the NFC is tougher.
I totally agree. So is that more of a reflection on the Patriots or is it a reflection on the conference as a whole?
I would say both, but I'd say more a reflection of the conference. Like if the Patriots make it to the Super Bowl and win it, do you feel like McCarthy, their run will be like Tampa last year, where it's like, okay, and I know they beat Washington football team to start, but after that, they're taking out Breeze, Rodgers, then Mahomes. Do you see the Patriots, you know, do you think it's going to be like, okay, we took out, I don't know, you know, like who would it be? Like Herbert,
Tennessee and then
Mahomes,
the Colts.
Rodgers? I mean, you know, Wentz, what's it going to be like? We took out Wentz, Mahomes. It's not going to be quite the same.
I would agree with that. And I think the conference frankly stinks. And I think it's one of the reasons why they have the best record in the conference. I think, of course, there are reasons for it. I'm not trying to discredit them, but they do have limitations. This is not, it's still not the most talented Patriots team of all time. I still have questions about this defense. I have questions as to whether they can defend the pass. I have questions as to whether you can win this way in 2021. And I say win this way, meaning win a Super Bowl. But with the state of the conference right now, they have as good a chance as anybody. Why not the Patriots? That's what I ask you. Why not the Patriots?
Especially if they're at home. I mean, if they're the number one seed and everyone has to come through here and knock them off. I mean, when I really look at it, I think there's maybe, I mean, it depends on if Tennessee gets Henry back. If Tennessee gets Henry back, I look at it and say there's like two teams I think could do it. Tennessee and Kansas City.
I don't see anybody else knocking them off here. Tennessee, if everything breaks their way, because I think they're really well coached.
Oh, yeah.
If Henry comes back, if they get some weapons back. And then Kansas City's, they're just still more talented than you, at least on the offensive side of the ball. And if you get into a shootout with them, that concerns me. But they're built to win in the cold. They're built to win outside. I mean, they proved that last week. They've got as good a chance as anybody. That's how I feel.
I would agree.
How do you feel about it? 617-779-0985. Can you win this way? Is this year a reflection of Mac Jones, or is it a reflection of the way that Bill Belichick built the team? And does Bill Belichick really trust Mac Jones? You want to ask those questions after the way they handled Monday night? I will. We'll do that next. Gasper and Murray, McCarthy in for Murray today on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Chris Gasper. Oh my God. Jim Murray.
Give me fuel, give me fire.
Give me that which I desire.
It's Gasper and Murray. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray. No Murray today. Matt McCarthy in. Chris is here. Milliken's alongside, and you, 617-779-0985. Do the Patriots trust Mac Jones? Yes or no? We'll get to that in a few seconds, but I want to take care of you. You're waiting patiently on the line. Bobby's in Worcester. He's going to lead us off today with McCarthy and Gasper. Hey, Bobby.
Sorry, I just had to take you guys off speaker. Love the show. McCarthy, do a great job filling in everywhere.
Thanks.
But I kind of agree with you, Gasper, with the Mac take. I just think it's a little strong. The difference is this year is Matt can point out the Mike linebacker. I can't count how many times last year that I would watch and I'd see David Andrews stop, turn around and say, no, 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 not 54, 55, Cam. Oh, okay. I think that's a huge difference this year, especially with the offense. I know they haven't been great, but they've at least been efficient most of the part.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I mean, certainly it's a significant upgrade at quarterback. I don't deny that. And this system, Mac Jones has picked it up so quickly. I just think, though, that if he, you know, look, picking out the Mike linebacker is great and it's important. But if then you do it and you pick up the pressure and you're waiting for N'Keal Harry or Demir Byrd to get open, I mean, I think that's an issue versus Kendrick Bourne, who's had a really good season and had a really good year last year when he was catching passes from C.J. Beathard and Nick Mullins mostly. So I don't know. I guess that's sort of the question, you know. How much has Mac elevated the offense? He's definitely elevated it versus how much is what's around him is allowing him to succeed and elevating him as a rookie.
Well, Cam Newton would not have been able to take advantage of Hunter Henry and Kendrick Bourne because Cam Newton flat out stinks. I think we've seen that since about 2018. Cam Newton can't play anymore.
No, he's not very good.
You see
Although,
that game?
He was good back in the day with Greg Olsen. I mean, it's a little... I agree with you on Bourne. You know, the tight end thing, I don't know, because traditionally he's been pretty good with tight ends, and I know he wasn't the most accurate passer when he was here, but the tight end literally, like, they were last in the league in percentage of targets to tight ends last year. So I'm not 100. Would he be as good as Mac is with Hunter Henry McCarthy? No, he wouldn't. But would he be, like, as bad as he was last year and not use Hunter Henry at all? I have a hard time going that far based on how horrible the tight ends were and Cam's history when he actually did have a tight end.
Yeah, Cam's history, though, and I think history is the key word. That was two presidential administrations ago. That was, which is a lifetime the National Football League. 2015 might as well be 1955. You might as well get in your DeLorean and go back to the Fishes Under the Sea dance or whatever that was. Like, that, it's forever ago. The guy can't play anymore. So, I mean, I know you're acknowledging that Mac Jones is significantly better than Cam Newton, and that's
absolutely
one of the reasons that they are, you know, they have the best record in the AFC.
Absolutely. But it's not the reason, capital T.
It's, yeah, it's absolutely a factor, but I agree. It's not the primary reason. It's a reason. I would even argue it's a big reason. Maybe
it's
not
in the top five.
Top three, maybe.
I think it's a little high.
Well, what would you bet out of it?
All right, so I would start with defensive upgrade. So getting Judon, you know, I would say that, like, what you spent, I would say it's slightly different because this is something you can't bank on. Hightower coming back, right? That's different than signing somebody in free agency. I would then go to bringing in the two tight ends. So what's that? That's three. Then I would say coaching is four, and I put Mac five.
I would say defensive upgrades, offensive upgrades, Mac Jones. But I guess we're just approaching this list slightly differently.
So you put Mac Jones ahead of coaching.
I thought Bill Belichick did a borderline miracle job getting that team to 7-9 last year. So maybe I just take the coaching for granted. But yeah, I think, I mean, Bill Belichick has frankly always been Bill Belichick. So maybe that's just you and me. We disagree.
Okay. So you just bumped him down to four.
I'd say I kept him at three.
So again, I'll ask you the same question. So this is my point. So you're giving more credit to Mac than you are to Belichick, which I think is interesting for a lot of fans out there, because to me, here's the conundrum for you. If you want to tell me Mac is in the top three in credit, then basically what you're telling me is what I already knew. When Bill Belichick has a top 10, really good franchise quarterback, he wins. When he doesn't, and when I say wins, I mean like wins like contending for a Super Bowl. When he doesn't, he doesn't. So I already knew that. So that means you're not really giving Belichick credit for winning without Brady if you're going to put Mac ahead of him in the reasons for success.
This conversation is giving me a massive popsicle headache, especially because you and I essentially are on the same side of the aisle on this. What I want to ask you, though, is do the Patriots trust Mac Jones? Do you think they trust him? And, you know, we have a game where he throws three passes 5 days ago or whatever it was. Do they trust him? Yes or no?
I would say in that game, no, they didn't trust him in that game. They did not trust him in that game. Overall, do they trust him? Yeah. For a rookie. Yeah, they trust him. I mean, they trust him the same way they trusted Matt Castle. And this is what I've said repeatedly. You're comparing him to the wrong former Patriots quarterback, at least this year. It's not Brady. It's Castle. It's the same way they brought Castle. Now, to your point, the league has changed so much. I mean, Castle, that was 2008. We're talking about 13 years ago.
Right.
The rules are everything's different. So, yeah, Castle only completed like 63% of his passes. And, oh, by the way, he's just not as accurate as Mac Jones, who's super accurate. So, it's, you know, you give Mac credit for the 70%. But the way they're handling the quarterback position is almost identical.
I don't think Monday night is really a reflection on how they feel about Mac Jones all that much. I think Monday night was a reflection of Bill Belichick. And one of those moments where Bill says, man, I can win this game like it's 1940, and he gets all excited about it. I mean, all that game needed was a drop kick, you know, a rugby mortar kick. I mean, it was the ultimate Bill Belichick night because I thought they got a little bit carried away with it. I mean, yes, you want to run the ball 85% of the time in a windstorm like that, that's fine.
Yep.
Three passes, particularly given that you did have the win for two of the four quarters.
Yeah.
They got a little bit carried away. They would have been better
off.
That
doesn't say anything about the quarterback. You just pointed out they had the win for two of the four quarters. They went 32 consecutive plays without passing. the quarterback's not a factor in that and what they feel like he can do in those conditions?
So I think it was a factor going into the game where they said, we're gonna manage the quarterback the way we've done it all year. Yeah. We're going to run the ball almost all of the time.
Okay.
But I actually felt like there was a moment in that game where, I mean, the Bills were blitzing both safeties. It was early in the fourth quarter when the Patriots had the win, and they said, we're just going to keep running because you could feel Bill Belichick get caught up in the moment. I'm going to win this game like this. I'm going to win this game, and I'm only going to pass the ball once. I'm only going to pass the ball twice. And I almost think that Bill got caught up in that. So, yes, I think it's a reflection on the quarterback entering the game. But in the moment, you could just see Bill Belichick saying, I'm going to do this the way that I want it. And people are going to talk about this for a long time.
I
really think it was one of those moments. This is a guy who had a drop kick.
Yep.
This is a guy who had a mortar kick.
Yep.
Like, that's, you know, Bill has that in him.
You do, but I also think, though, like, I think, again, you're, like, over-crediting with the psychological warfare, because Bill says, what's the job of the offense? To go out there and score points. For all that running, and as great as it was, they scored one touchdown. One. So I think at a certain point, I don't think it was about psychological warfare. It was, I trust my defense and my kicker more than I trust my quarterback in these conditions. And so that's what we're going to try and do. Because I know Bill, from this standpoint, he always tells teams and tells guys, more games are lost in the National Football League than won. Before you can win the game, you have to not lose the game.
It's the genius of Bill Belichick.
It is the genius
they
of it.
They just don't lose. They just don't make
they
mistakes.
They don't make mistakes. And so what's the easiest way to make sure you don't turn the ball over and give Buffalo a short field?
Run it.
Run it. And make sure that your rookie quarterback, who looks shaky in these conditions, doesn't throw a ball that takes off on him and gets tipped and is intercepted. Doesn't throw the ball like he did to Jonnu Smith, where if Jonnu doesn't get a hand on that, it's probably intercepted. So, I think psychological warfare was part of it, but also the calculus of Belichick was, what's the most likely way we'll make a mistake? It's this kid throwing the ball in these conditions. We're not going to throw.
Yeah, I just think they got a little bit caught up in the moment, because you know what? If they had thrown the ball six times, they would have been better off.
I agree.
Mixed in a little play action, the occasional screen here and there. I'm not asking them to throw it more than six or seven times.
Yep.
But there was probably an opportunity to hit Buffalo on a play action at some point in that game. And you could argue that it's because they don't trust Mac Jones. I just think Bill got caught up in the moment and said, I'm going to win this game throwing the ball three times, and I kind of like that. I think there's
maybe
a factor to that.
I could see that being part of it, but this guy's the master of situational football and sort of, again, the calculus of what's the best way for us to win this game. So for me to look at it and say, okay, he was more interested in proving a point than putting his team in the best position to win the game, I find that in a game this close, I find that hard to believe. I just do. I think he knows he has the best defense in the league. The defense has been playing lights out. The only way he feels like Buffalo can score is if they get a short field. See, this is the part that drives me a little crazy. It's like, so I hear people say, well, you know, he knew Josh Allen wouldn't be able to get in the end zone. He knew Josh Allen this, and he played Josh Allen. So on one side, he played the quarterback with the opposing quarterback, but he never factored in and played his own quarterback at all. That doesn't sound like Bill Belichick. I think he was playing both quarterbacks. This guy over here, Josh Allen, I don't trust him to be able to win the game. My quarterback over here, I don't trust him in these conditions to not lose us the game. So I'm going to try and sort of, you know, play both quarterbacks here. And that's why we're going to make it a ground game. Because the other thing about the ground game, McCarthy, is what keeps the clock running? What gives Josh Allen and the Bills the fewest chances to drive the field? Running the ball. If you throw the ball and it's incomplete, which it likely would have been in those conditions, it stops the clock. So Bill's playing that too. I do think there was a psychological element, but I can't agree that it was the overriding determination for why he played the game the way he did.
All right, room free on the phone line, 617-779-0985. Speaking of the Bills, nice little matchup this weekend.
Yeah,
nice little matchup this weekend.
What do you root for?
Oh, I know who I'm rooting for. That's not a very difficult choice for me, Gasper.
I think it is for a lot of Patriots fans. And
that disgusts me. It flat out disgusts me. Let's get into that next. McCarthy in for Murray. It's Gasper and Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub.
This is 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds like fact, not opinion to me.
This is Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Casper, your name is top billing on this show, and my name isn't even on it because I'm filling in for Murray today. It's Matt McCarthy. Hi. So I'll give you an opportunity. Do you want to hear from the people first, or do you want to continue antagonizing Patriots fans before we go to the people?
No, I want to hear from the people.
You want to hear from the people?
Yeah.
Okay. Phil's in Norwood. Hi, Phil.
So the first thing I'd probably say is, yes, Bill Belichick managed him a little bit because it was windy, it was crazy, and so obviously he doesn't want to put him in a situation that is uncontrollable and can negatively affect the team. He just wants to play it safe. But my second and probably most important point is that the way the Patriots win in the playoff is going to be the defense. You're going to need Judon and Barmore to cave the middle, to rush the quarterback, which makes the zone defense so much easier. And that's how the Patriots are going to win. Yes, Mac Jones doesn't make mistakes and he's a factor, but the biggest factor is going to be you need the defense to give you a Broncos type level. I'm not saying they're like Von Miller's Hall of Fame status, but they need something so that he can be the best player he can be, and then the rest of the defense falls in line.
So, Chris, do you think that this defense has that in them? Are they that good?
Yeah, I mean, I think they are. I mean, my only question, I guess, is just if you get to a point where they are in a game. I thought what was interesting before the weather sort of took over this game was I really wanted to see how the Patriots, without Jonathan Jones, would defend a team like Buffalo that had multiple options in the passing game. In other words, yeah, J.C. Jackson can take out Stephon Diggs or close to it, but then what if it's good weather conditions to throw, and how do you defend Cole Beasley and Emmanuel Sanders and Dawson Knox? I think the win helped you a little bit in terms of that, and so I'm curious about that moving forward. But I think if you're going to beat this Patriots defense, and that's the only question I have, is just without Jonathan Jones, do they have enough at corner? Like, you're not going to beat them with your number one option. You kind of have to do it the way the Cowboys did, which is, okay, our number two, our number three, however you want to put it, CeeDee Lamb went off.
I think you're spot on with that. I've still got questions about this passing defense, and not only John Jones, Steph Gilmore, too. You might have Juwan Williams out there in the AFC Championship game against Patrick Mahomes and that Chiefs offense. How do you feel about that? I don't necessarily feel good about that.
So I don't think so. The people, you know, look, obviously Mahomes is turning the ball over, but everybody just says like the Chiefs offense. They miss something like they don't really have, in my opinion, a really good number two receiver. So obviously you have Kelce at tight end, who's like a receiver. But it's Hill, Kelce, big drop-off. Like, Mecole Hardman, I don't think has had a great year. That Byron Pringle guy is a drop or, like, bobbled interception waiting to happen. I don't think this is a vintage Chiefs offense, and it's not just Mahomes. Like, put the blame on Mahomes. He's tried to make way too – he's been like Jason Tatum out there playing hero ball, and that's caused a lot of their turnovers. But I also don't feel like their offense, like, when you look at the weapons, like when they had Sammy Watkins, it's not like that. Like there's a huge drop-off, in my opinion, from – Tyreek to Kelce to whoever the third option is in the passing game. And I think that's an issue for them.
I don't disagree with anything you just said. I just still think it could be an issue for the, for this defense, because I haven't seen it. I haven't seen, you know, and it's not that they've really had any opportunities to show me otherwise. I mean, it feels like the last really, really good passing attack that they played was Dallas. Maybe the Chargers, you know, I'd put them in there and they played.
Chargers are pretty good. They did a pretty good job.
They did a pretty good job against them. And, you know, it's hard to judge that Bills game. I'll have a much better sense about this passing defense and where they stand after the second Buffalo game.
Depending on the weather.
Depending on the weather, of course. Day after Christmas, it could be, you know, a snowstorm here. Which, by the way, I've got no problems that the Patriots are built to win in bad weather.
Me neither.
I like football teams with that identity. And particularly if you're the top seed in the AFC, which to me you should be, Chris. I mean, the Patriots theoretically could go undefeated for the rest of the season. I mean, they're going to beat Indianapolis. I feel confident about that. I don't like that Colts team as much as other teams do, or as much as other people do.
Really? So I'm big on the Colts. Now, I don't even know if they'll make it in. Check their schedule, McCarthy. They've had like a hellacious schedule in terms of who they've played. The game that's probably really going to kill them was losing the season opener to Seattle. But I think if they get in, I think they're dangerous because they're not all that unlike the Patriots in that great offensive line, excellent running game, defense that to me is fundamentally sound, not as talented as the Patriots, but fundamentally sound. And they just rely on the quarterback to make some plays and manage the game. Like Carson Wentz has had a pretty good year.
I don't need any logic, any thought behind this. They're the Colts.
Oh,
they
okay.
don't scare
well,
me.
You go with that.
Yeah, no, that I just, it's just the way the world works, Chris. Okay. This is something I'm beginning to accept a little bit more. It's just the way the world works. I don't question it, which brings me to the Buffalo Bills in this weekend. Last week is just an example. It's just the way the world works. Patriots will always be better than the Bills. And now they get Tom Brady this weekend, who's going to beat their faces in. I am firmly confident of that. You know why?
Why?
It's just the way the world works, Chris. I don't need any logic beyond it. You don't need to tell me about matchups or anything. Well, you know, maybe the Bills can take advantage of that Tampa Bay defense. No, 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 no. It's just the way the world works. Tom Brady will own the Bills this weekend. That is what I'm rooting for. It is what will happen. I know you have a thought on this game, but yeah. That's just my thought. I don't need logic or reason behind it. It's just the way the world works. Don't question it. Accept it. I have accepted it. You know why? Because it's a good thing that the world works that way. The Patriots will always be better than the Bills. Tom Brady will always own them. I don't need to question any more of it.
Well,
your
I mean,
thoughts on this game?
I hope you're right. I don't know. I think this is a tough game for the Bucs. The Bills have two really good safeties. I think their defense is built more to combat the pass than the run, obviously. Tampa's a team that can definitely lose focus at times. I think Josh Allen could light up the Bucs secondary. They're missing some guys, obviously. Jamel Dean. I know they activated Richard Sherman. Mike Edwards, the safety, is still out. And the Bucs are not the most disciplined defense either. I think this is going to be a tough one. I guess my question is, if you're a Patriots fan, who are you rooting for in this one? You know, do you want to see Brady beat the Bills? Because if he does that, now you have a two-game lead in the division. And by the time you play the Bills, if you beat them, it's basically over, right? So Brady can do you a real favor in terms of helping you lock up this division. On the other hand, if Brady plays great against the Bills and the Buccaneers win, then Brady's pretty much on his way to the MVP, and he's having another great season since he left here and left Bill. And how do you feel about that? Do you want to see Brady humbled by the Bills? And you can say, well, ooh, Bill humbled the Bills the week before at home, and then Brady plays the Bills, and he's at home, and he gets humbled by the Bills. He loses. Checkmark Bill. So what do you want? Do you want what's best for your team? Or do you want what's best for Belichick, and do you want to see Brady eat some humble pie? I'm sort of curious. And I'll say this, if the Bills win this game, then they're very much still alive for the division because they're right there with you and they play you on the 26th. And if they beat you, they would have a better division record than you would because they only have one division loss. You have one division loss, Miami. So that would give you two division losses. So what do you want to do? Like, the best thing for the team, in my opinion, is for Brady to beat them. But I don't know. I feel like people, you know, Petty's kind of on brand for a small segment, a small slice of Patriot fans. And I just wonder if the pettiness leads them to root against Brady, even though it's better for their team to root for him.
Pettiness is also on brand for me.
Okay.
But I am Team Brady. So this is the perfect scenario for me this weekend.
Okay.
The Bills lose. I get proven right that, again, this is the way the world just works.
Yes, I'm with you, by the way.
I get proven right that, yeah, Tom Brady still had something to give, which, of course, I was already proven correct last year. Brady does well. He's on the way to the MVP. It benefits the Patriots. The Bills lose. Everything's right with the world. The Patriots are winning. Brady's winning. The Bills losing. Yeah, it's going to be a good weekend. We had a good weekend for Matt McCarthy, the Patriots, Tom Brady, and everybody involved.
Yeah.
Except the Buffalo Bills, which makes everything good.
Okay, so I like your logic. Yep. I totally agree. I guess I'm curious. Maybe I'm mischaracterizing that small slice of the fan base. Maybe it's even smaller than I think. But I just think there will be people who, if the game turns and Brady throws two or three picks, they're not going to be able to like help themselves. They're going to start rooting against him, and they'll be rooting for the Bills, and they'll just feel like, it doesn't matter. Bill will take care of the Bills in a couple of weeks. Let them beat up on Brady. This makes Bill look better because he took the Bills to school, and now Brady's getting taken to school by the Bills, and we'll just take care of him. Mac will take care of him in a couple of weeks here at Gillette. So, yeah, feed that humble pie to Tommy.
As I said at the beginning of the segment, we can take calls or we can just have Chris antagonize Patriots fans. We did both.
We did both.
And you know what?
Multitasking.
Why don't we do both in the next segment? Yeah. But we've got full phone lines, so I want to make sure to take care of people. See, actually, we got one more left, so grab it. 617-779-0985. I'm sorry, Chris.
No, I was going to say, I don't need to be managed. That's the thing.
You are unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah, at the beginning of the show, I said, you got to find a way to dig in on Mac Jones. And you said, no, I'm not digging in
on
Mac Jones.
I'm wrong. I freely admit it, I'm wrong. I'm not dug in. See, I'm past dug in. I've corrected my take. Now I just want other people on the opposite end of the spectrum. The Mac Jones walks on water is a top 10 quarterback already. Now I want you to correct your take the way I had to correct mine so we can all meet in the middle, which is called reality.
50 minutes in, and we've had nothing but 50 minutes of passive-aggressive takes on Mac Jones from Chris Gasper. Thank God we have the Sports Hub Celtic Show contractual obligation to save us all from Gasper's passive-aggressive Mac Jones takes. But, you know, we got another 10 minutes to do that, so why don't we do that next?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Chris Gasper.
I'm not the one who's red-faced and ranting, so who's the baby?
And Big Jim Murray.
Takes in your face, sports.
Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, no Murray today, Matt McCarthy in. Hi, how you doing? 617-779-0985. We have the Sports Hub Celtics show coming up momentarily, and there is a lot to get to with the Celtics and their disastrous West Coast trip. But before that, we'll take care of you. You've been waiting patiently. Alex is in Walpole. Hey, Alex.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up?
Something I just wanted to bring up. I know, Gasper, you've been one of the people that says this, that Bill will do what's best for the team, win the game, all that stuff. Obviously, managing Mac was a smart idea, but I think three passes was kind of ridiculous. I think that was Bill's ego. We would have been better off with him maybe throwing a few more, like you said, mixing some play action. For the people that say, well, Bill would never sacrifice the game plan or sacrifice his chance of winning for his ego, well, that's wrong because we've already seen him do that.
Yeah, you
that's
know,
true.
In the Super
Malcolm
Bowl.
Butler. Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is sort of like in-game like strategy, because I think, McCarthy, you were saying he started out saying like, okay, well, this is what we're going to do. But then in the middle of the game, he was kind of feeling himself and was like, oh, screw it. Instead of like the eight passes we let Castle throw in 2008 in what Bill called way worse conditions, and I was at that game, he's like, no, like, you know, my ego, we're only going to have Mac throw three. I think they got spooked by Mac's first pass, the one to Jonnu Smith, because they know him. They know how accurate a passer he is. And Jonnu Smith was wide open and that ball just floated. And I think they got spooked by that and were like, oof, this isn't good, you know. And then they basically said, we can win this with defense and running. I mean, they had five more minutes in time of possession than Buffalo did. And I think that was huge. I think it's also Bill playing the clock. If you run the ball, And even if you don't score, which they didn't, and they should have scored more than 14 points, but if you run the ball, that helps your defense because it's taking time off the clock. It's time that Josh Allen and the Bills don't have to use.
Gary in the car has a thought on time of possession in the Bills game. Hey, Gary.
Hey, how are you guys?
What's up?
Good.
I just wanted to, I mean, you guys just hit it. I've been listening all week. Granted, I don't listen 24 hours a day. But I didn't hear anybody talk about time for possession, and you guys nailed it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And but I'll walk that back. It was actually 4 minutes because it was 32:01 to 27:59, which is basically 28. So it was 4 minutes that they had the time of possession advantage. Both teams ended up with 10 possessions. But I think that definitely helps, and I think they definitely played that towards the end of the game. What was interesting to me, McCarthy, is, you know, I understand what people are saying about passing more. Because, yeah, you want to score more points. But how about that last drive when they did pass twice? I was like, if you've gotten this far with it, what are you doing now? And I don't think that was Bill. I mean, that was Josh. So I think as much as people are like, oh, you know, Bill was like, I want to win this way because it's good for my ego. I think Josh in the back of his mind was like, I like the kid. I can't believe he's only thrown the ball, you know, this many times. Not a great look for him. Maybe not a great look for me when I get my next job. Yeah, let's chuck it. Let's go.
Well, I mean, yeah. third and 13, you had to pass in that scenario. There was no other option.
You could have run a draw, and you might have picked it up.
Yeah, they were running on third down all day, so I guess you could say they didn't have to pass. But third and 13, they got in shotgun for the first time. You're like, well, here comes a screen, and that's exactly what it was. There was no reason, though, that they couldn't have mixed in a screen a little bit earlier on in the game.
Yeah, so here's what it was. It was second 11 from their own 22, Mac Jones incomplete to Aguilar. Now it's third and 11 from your own 22. There was the screen for 7 yards to Bolden. I mean, you could have run a draw on second and 11. You probably would have picked up 6 yards. Now it's third and 5 for Mac. You run that screen and you pick up 7. So that second and 11 from the 22, why did they let him pass? That's the thing. You're like, well, if you're not letting him pass all game, why are you going to pass there? And if you are, why isn't it a screen, the screen you called on third down? That was a strange one. And I wonder if that was McDaniels again being like, up to this point in the game, Mac's only thrown it one time, which would be a somewhat ignominious NFL record for fewest pass attempts. I'm going to make sure this doesn't happen to my guy. Because, oh, by the way, the leader of the Mac Mafia, the boss, is Josh McDaniels.
Tim's in Plymouth, real quick before we hit the Sports Hub Celtics show. Hey, Tim.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
I just think that we're all missing the ball of wax here. I think that they're doing a really good job of managing the situation overall. You know, from Brady the first time he came out to Mac the first time he came out. I think that this year they kind of, you know, they are where they are. By luck, honestly, you know, I think Belichick is doing a great job of pulling the team together. You know, I sat through a lot of seasons many moons ago in a dirty, wet parking lot. And it's just nice to see something pulling together for once.
I don't necessarily think it's luck, and I'm sorry, we're up against it, Tim.
I know what he's saying.
I think there's an element of good fortune that the rest of the conference is down.
Well, some of the injury stuff. Like,
sure.
You know.
They've been healthy. There's an element of good fortune. But this is the way they wanted to build the team, to your point, Gasper.
Yes.
And you know what? It's working.
Absolutely.
It's working because, A, that was their plan, and it's a good plan with a rookie quarterback, and they found the right players. And that's on them for finding Judon, for finding Bourne, Godcho. You know, credit Bill, absolutely. The element of good fortune is health. And the rest of the conference.
And the quarterback, I think, being better than they thought.
Sure, absolutely.
In his rookie season. Like, I think he's exceeded even their expectations. Well, not Josh's, but I think he's exceeded Bill's expectations. I definitely do. And I'll say this. Like, when you spend $175 million, like, don't you expect to contend for the playoffs? So I looked at them and thought, okay, this is a borderline playoff team. I thought 6 or 7. They've exceeded that. They're the number one seed. But in terms of luck, it's like, no, Bill built a playoff-caliber team, right?
I would agree. You know what? I thought that was a relatively positive hour outside of Gasper antagonizing the Patriots, antagonizing Patriots fans, and really just digging in even more on Mac Jones.
I mean, if you feel, I understand where, you know, for certain people, the truth is antagonizing, you know, it's difficult for certain people to deal with the truth.
Well, that's enough positivity, because now we got to get to the Celtics, who are a complete and total dumpster fire. 90 seconds, no commercials, then the Sports Hub Celtics show. And why don't we beat the bag out of them for an hour? Because that's exactly what they deserve.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.